Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, October 8th, 2021. Hi, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much.
I thought for a second that you're taking a nap. I was going to start the show for you.
Were you?
I thought you were taking a nap. I was going to start it for you. You know, you just kind of slowed
down. No,
that's all right.
Todd's the one that takes the naps, not me.
Well, it's Friday. You made it.
I did. And, hey, today we had a pretty decent day in gold. You know, it popped strong on the jobs report this morning, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But then it mellowed out. I mean, it was up about $30.
Wow.
At the start of the day. And we were happy to hang on to a $1.60 increase, $1,758. Silver had the same kind of a day, and we were able to manage to hold on 3 cents at $22.71. Platinum was up $44 at $1,030. Palladium was up 6%. Palladium's had two strong days, 123 points. The USDX today was down 0.09 at 94.12. Crude oil was up over 80 today, but it looks like it's at 79.54. Paper markets today, I'm sure everything is positive. Well, no, almost. Looks like everything closed near the flat line today. The Dow was down 8, 34,746. S&P down 8. 4,391. The NASDAQ was down 74 at 14,579. Asian markets were all positive overnight. Europe mixed. And the 10-year yield, drum roll, please, 1.60. That rate is a-rising. And so, yeah, let's go ahead and I just saw the jobs report number just swamped. It's just been an incredible week this week. And Secretary Marty Walsh asserted that the September jobs report is complex. The report is just not as bad as everyone is reporting. The Labor Department today reported the economy added 194,000 jobs, non-farm payrolls in September, but everyone was expecting 500,000. So, but meanwhile, the unemployment rate fell to 4.8% compared to the expected rate of 5.1. So, you know what? Their numbers just get screwier and screwier.
That's a neat trick, Melody. That was a neat trick.
I know. How about that?
That's a neat trick.
That's that new math.
It is. Just like $30 increase in gold and back down to a buck. Now, that's pretty doggone good.
I know.
I mean, you have to give them credit. They can handle the numbers.
She says, if you compare it to the Great Recession, it took us until 2016 to get under 5% unemployment in the Great Recession. In this particular case, the president and the administration, we've done it in about 19 to 20 months.
Oh, I don't know why I'm laughing. It really isn't funny, but it's just really something that can maneuver the figures like that. And people still kind of look at them and go on down the road not thinking anything about it. I don't know.
Oh, I know. It just gets crazier and crazier. But anyway, that's what the jobs report was. And that was done on the big open. We saw everything drop at the open of the market, and gold and silver just skyrocketed. And we'll probably go a little bit more into detail on Monday, as I just hadn't had enough to absorb what was all in this report. As it's been an incredible week this week. So, Biden on the September's job report says the overall unemployment report shows almost 200,000 jobs were created last month. The monthly total bounced around it But if you take a look at the trend, it's solid. You know, man, it's solid. I know my imitation of him is not very good.
Oh, my gracious.
You know, in an area of growing concerns is the healthcare industry. No kidding. 38,000 jobs lost in nursing and residential healthcare facilities. 8,000 lost in hospitals. Let's see. Overall unemployment in healthcare is down by roughly 524,000 jobs since February of 2020. That's huge.
Wow.
And the nursing field, which has been dealing with a shortage even before the pandemic, is feeling the brunt of those losses. We've seen some of these nurses push back against the mandates that have been implemented by hospitals and some of these other healthcare facilities. But they say that's not the primary cause of the shortage. Well, then there's going to be even a bigger shortage. Let's see. So anyway, that's what it is. And yes, that was as bad as it was reported. So not like Labor Secretary Walsh says, jobs report, not as bad. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. So anyway, it's just another day for the craziness of it. And I really didn't see oil. Of course, I think it popped over 80, but just staying up there close to 80. Consumer good companies are walking a tightrope as inflation surges. We're going to talk about that. You have the Evergrande and a little bit of an update on that. This is from Reuters out of China. The Evergrande offshore bondholders are concerned that it's close to defaulting on debt payments. Evergrande, which could trigger one of China's largest defaults. It has $300 billion in debt. And we've seen their troubles have hit in various waves across the global markets. They missed payments on dollar bonds worth combined about $131 million. That was all due back in September 23rd and 29th. So everybody's Evergrande is staying pretty silent on dollar debt payments and prioritizing onshore creditors, and offshore investors have been left wondering if they were going to face these large losses at the end of a 30-day grace period for last month coupons. So that story is not over. So Evergrande, it faces about $150 million in offshore payment obligations just next week. And, of course, they did not respond for any interview. So something else that's just looming in the background for not knowing how it might impact the various markets around the world. So it's just one thing right after another. And so it's pretty interesting.
It's almost like dominoes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. One goes, another one goes, another one goes, another one goes.
You know, we've talked about the various shortages. Now we're talk of natural gas shortages right ahead of winter. Myrina, a tanker chartered by Royal Dutch Shell, set sail to Asia from the west coast of France last month, carrying liquefied natural gas. When it was about to enter the Strait of Gibraltar, the captain received a call. We have to go to Rotterdam now. His boss in London told him, according to one of the people, the ship made a U-turn and backtracked up the coast of Spain and France to drop off part of its cargo at the Dutch port. On Thursday, it arrived in Bilbao, Spain, to deliver the rest of its load. So buyers in Europe, Asia, and Latin America are competing for limited supplies of gas, racing to fill tanks and caverns with the fuel before winter hits the northern hemisphere. So it's that will be a tough one. That will be a tough one. These are tight supplies from Russia, the strong demand in China and Latin America have made European economies, including Spain, the Netherlands, and the UK particularly, and the UK particularly vulnerable, Butch. And
yes.
The Even in the U.S., the world's largest producer of natural gas, the bidding war has dragged up the prices to their highest in over a decade, setting the stage for an expensive winter heating session and higher electricity bills right here at home. And then you have to see how it's going to impact.
Go ahead. If that were the only thing going up, that's bad. But everything else is going up also.
Yeah. Shippers are diverting tankers to the highest bidder. A rare occurrence that adds, you know, uncertainty to the market. And manufacturers, we're already in a, you know, where they're not making anything or slowing production because of energy prices. So, again, this is, you know, something that I don't think anyone really anticipated. And China and Europe are firing up coal and oil-fed plants. So much there for your global warning pact. Anyway, climate change. I'm sorry, climate change. So, I don't know. Kind of interesting.
I've got some good news. I've got some good news in the program on this climate stuff. This is really good news, actual news I brought up on some good news for Friday. I'm going to close out two or three good options after a while. So, anyway.
Okay.
I thought that would make your day.
Absolutely. So.
You know, I got an email here from a listener of your program and mine up in Canada named Jeffrey. He sent down some pictures of the Real Canadian Superstores, a grocery store in Canada, and he's showing me pictures that every aisle is totally packed. I mean, it's got everything. It's a huge store, and everything's packed. He sent down a list of prices in U.S. dollars to us. We're running out of food, they say, in some areas up there. He said everything is in supply, everything they need, and much, much of it's there. So I don't know whether we're being picked on in particular with this as a way of taking us down another notch. I don't know. But up there, the stores are stocked. But the prices are tremendous. In U.S. dollars, for example, I just looked online. Our price of sugar is 70 cents a pound. Up there in U.S. dollars is 30 cents a pound, Melody. Less than half the price. A beef sirloin roast, which I know goes in a lot of places for $7-$8 a pound, is $2.81 a pound. And this is in Canada now. Fresh chicken thighs, $1.56 a pound. About a quart of cream, it's a liter, so a little over a quart, is $1.56 for a quart. And a dozen eggs is $1.55, large eggs. That is really, the prices up there in U.S. dollars is much cheaper and the shelves are stocked. That makes you wonder why we say we're running low here and the prices are going through the roof. I don't know, Mel. It's just this come out of Canada from somebody that you know and I both know. And so I just thought that's important to share that. Somebody's getting ripped off here. Somebody's getting ripped off. That wouldn't be us, would it?
Well, it's just the various dollar conversion that would make theirs less, and you know you can buy more in other countries because our dollar is.
Well, it could be, but the 30 cents a dollar, 30 cents a pound is less than half are paying here. It don't make any sense, and the shelves are bulging. Mm-hmm. And we're running out of things here. I mean, I don't understand that. I really don't know. So we just have to wait and see how this plays out. But you were talking about everything running out, and the article says America is running out of everything. And it really is. I don't understand what all the reasons are. I know they're blaming on COVID. I know they're saying COVID did it. I have a hard time believing that all the way. But anyway, it says, is it just me or does it feel like America is running out of everything? I visited CVS last week to pick up some at-home COVID-19 tests. They've been sold out for a week, the employer told me. So I asked about paper towels. We're out of those, too, he said. Try Walgreens. I drove to Walgreens that had paper towels, but when I asked a pharmacist to fill some very common prescriptions, he told me that store had run out. Try the Target up this road, he suggested. Target's pharmacy had the meds, but its front area was alarmingly barren, like the canned food section of a grocery store 1 hour before a hurricane makes landfall. This is the economy now. 1 hour errands are now multi-hour odysseys. Next day deliveries are becoming day after next deliveries. That car part you need, it'll take an extra week. Sorry. The book you were looking for, come back in November. The baby crib you bought, make it December. Eyeing a new home improvement job requires several construction workers? Ha ha. The U.S. economy isn't yet experiencing a downturn akin to 1970s period of stagflation. This is something different and quite strange. Americans are settling into a new phase of the pandemic economy in which GDP is growing, but we're also suffering from the dearth of a shocking array of things. Test kits, car parts, semiconductors, ships, shipping containers, workers. This is everything shortage. And I'm not going to get much in the next article, but diaper shortage is hitting. And a shortage of appliances has been going for a while, but it hasn't got any better. And even toys are coming up short in some places. I don't understand how all this is hitting all one time. I know we're seeing the shipping things happen and delays happen. Melly, this is quite a hit for people. One article said the gentleman had ordered a wash machine, and it didn't come in. So he's washing his clothes at his neighbor's house. That's too bad, but it's definitely unusual for our country that you can't walk down to a Lowe's or whatever store you go to and pick up a wash machine, isn't it?
Yeah, it truly is. And, you don't see as many laundromats around towns anymore like you at once did. They used to be, fairly common, sight to see. But it is. It's can't even buy a washing machine.
And they're running on diapers and other things you talked about there, too. But it's not the point of what all different items are. It's just that's happening in a country that, in my lifetime, I've never seen happen before. I've never in my lifetime ever seen our stores lowering anything as far as essentials for more than maybe a day or so if they had to run on something because the supply come in the next day. But it's not that way longer. And it's just, right. It is kind of telling. And you talk about the $8 a barrel of oil. Well, that's... It was, 60-something last week, I believe it was. It went up nuts in at almost 80. That's going to mean we're going to see a price increase in gasoline real soon, doesn't it?
You would think so, as we speak.
I would think so. Pardon?
As we speak.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, folks, this is really starting to add up to be a lot of money. When fuel prices go up, prices in the wholesale will go up again. So this is like we're getting caught in a whirlpool. The closer to the center, the faster it goes. So it's just amazing how this is all working out. It's kind of scary because it's happening right now as we speak, as you said. And there's no end in sight. If we say it's going to end in a couple months, but they told us, 8 months ago this wouldn't last but a few months. Now it's been going on a year and a half or thereabouts, and it hasn't slacked up any yet. It's just getting worse. We just have to wait and see. Anything you want to add to that?
No, sir.
I hear
music. Because we're heading into break. That's why I couldn't. I couldn't add anything.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoices.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. How's that, Butch?
That sounds great to me. And by the way, folks, it is a good newsletter. It really is. It's worth getting. It's really good. It's very well done, put together with easy to read information, and I appreciate
well,
that.
You. I well, like thank that. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, and so now I'm pretty much done.
But I just want to ask you: what if you were working on a ship and you were abandoned in the ocean? They just left you there, no food, nothing. They just more or less just the company just shut the thing down, and you're sitting in the middle of the ocean. With no place to go and no way to get anywhere. This is actually happening right now, folks. This is actually happening right now. Crews are abandoned on ships in record numbers without pay, food, or way home. This is absolutely astounding. Failing companies ditch vessels too expensive to repair or too difficult to sail, leaving behind cargo ship castaways trapped in ports offshore. Muddy, what do you think about that so far? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, can you imagine? You got a fellow there that's trying to make a living for his family. He can't even get home. He has no pay coming in, no food on the ship, and they just go off and leave him there. An engineer stuck on a cargo ship abandoned at Black Sea port has waited 4 years to get paid and go home. 4 years. Talk about being in prison. Off the coast of Somalia, a crew awaiting pay languishes on a pirate-thralled stretch of the Indian Ocean while the ship slowly takes on water. Another 14 seafarers stuck on a cargo ship off the coast of Iran have run out of food and fuel. Some contemplated suicide. Folks, this is actually happening. They're treating people like rats. We cannot survive here, said an engineer aboard the MV Azdanar, abandoned off the Iranian port city of Bandarbaz. Please help us. He spoke via video earlier this year, his face drawn. The $14 trillion shipping industry, responsible for 90% of world trade, had left in its wake what appears to be a record number of cargo ship castaways. That's important enough to repeat. A $14 trillion shipping industry, responsible for 90% of world trade, folks, 90% has left in its wake what appears to be a record number of cargo ship castaways. Abandonment cases are counted when ship owners fail to pay crews 2 or 3 months in wages or don't cover the cost to send crew members home, according to the International Maritime Organization, a United Nations agency. Last year, the number of such cases reported to the agency more than doubled to 85 from 40 in 2019. This year is on track to be worse. More than 1,000 seafarers are currently abandoned on container ships and bulk carriers, according to estimates by International Transport Workers Federation, a labor union. The true toll is likely higher because many crew members are reluctant to speak out for fear of being blacklisted, according to interviews with seafarers, abandoned vessels, ship owners, agents, maritime organizations, and union officials. Wow, it's just hard to fathom that they will go off and abandon the ship with the people on them, Melody. No food, no way home, no pay. 4 years is one guy stuck on it. I don't even know how to even cover this. I mean, what do you say?
Nice vacation.
Yeah, I guess if you don't mind going hungry.
You start fishing.
There you go. I mean, you know, my mind can't wrap around the fact that they go off and desert people like that. Just leave them stranded. That just doesn't seem like it's feasible that could happen. I'm sure it does. Obviously it does. But my mind has a hard time going around that. These guys have been
saying,
yeah,
I know. Well, not
years.
Only just the ship itself. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
The cost.
What, 90% of the trade's done with ships? 90%. Imagine that. And there's something set there.
But you know what? If something is insured, people really don't care anymore. I can remember, this goes back to, I don't know, probably the 80s and some good, well, early 90s, mid-90s. No, actually it would have been late 90s. And she had, both her and her husband worked for the agriculture department. And they were, you know, they had some high-power jobs. And she says when they had losses, like if something happened at sea and some of the, when she was talking mainly about grain and so forth, she says they just dump it. She says they don't try to salvage anything. They just dump it because of the insurance.
Wow.
And so it sounds like that's similar. They're just scrapping it. You know, they don't want to salvage anything. So, interesting.
Well, yeah. It is interesting, and that, we're talking about produce here and even ships. We're talking about men, mm-hmm. though, too. You don't just scrap people. Mm-hmm. You know? I just don't do that. But anyway, different topic I thought was interesting because you've talked about this a lot in the past, about robots going to take over jobs. Well, robots do all the work at Nissan's intelligent plant. Nissan's intelligent factory, folks, hardly has any human workers. The robots do the work, including welding and mounting. They do the paint jobs and inspect their own paint jobs. Up to now, people had to make production adjustments through experience, but now robots with artificial intelligence, analyzing and collecting data, are able to do it. The technology had developed to that level, Nissan Executive Vice President Sakamoto said during a tour of the production line for the area sport utility vehicle at its Tachi plant Friday. The factory on the outskirts of Tokyo is set up to be up and running sometime before April, according to Nissan Motor Company. Its assembly line is designed so that all three types of models, electric, e-power, which has both a motor and an engine, and those powered by regular combustion engine, can be built on the same line. Each vehicle is equipped with the right powertrain as it moves along the line. So everything here will be done by robot. No workers. All automakers are working on robotic technology that can increase adaptability and enable them to respond quickly to market demand. Okay, what about the factory workers? I mean, they'll have somebody, I guess, to program the robots and take care of that and maintenance. But how about all the guys that worked on assembly line building? What happened to all those? Where are they going? Mm-hmm. I mean, what's going to go on there? I mean, just think that there'll be no sick pay to them, no pay vacations. Machines don't take them. So... what's that going to mean to their job, the economy for jobs? I mean, this is right now, of course, in Japan. But I promise you, if Japan gets it, they'll come to America, too. You know that.
Mm-hmm, I do.
So, I don't know what that's going to mean. I like to think they would find jobs that people could do to fill in a gap somewhere, but it doesn't sound like it at all on that. No workers on the floor. So... that's just a point that you made some time back. What are they going to do when robots take over? Well, like I said, there won't be any sick leave for robots. You know, nothing like that to be taken care of, so they'll be much cheaper in the long run to run. But it takes a human touch out of it for sure. Any comments on that?
No. The robots are coming. Technology.
Really technology.
Just think. And you know what? You know, it's kind of funny. Is, you know, we're enablers because we continue to buy all of this technology that allows these technology companies to create the things that destroy us.
Very well said.
I mean, we do that with other things too. And it really is kind of amazing. And so we become, for the sake of convenience, we have, you know, lost so much.
Well, because of convenience, we've sold our privacy, have we not? We put all of our online information and even banking in danger. Companies are being hacked and charged ransom to get their information back. Have we not done all that because of convenience?
We have. So now we buy all these great technology, and they're all billionaires, and now they come back and create the technology to take our jobs away. So there you have it.
It's just amazing, and you know, but again, I can't imagine people today say, well, I'm going to do away with my cell phone because I know what it's doing. It's tracking me, and all my information is out in public. It's up on all of this, up in the cloud. I can't see them say, well, I'm going to quit using my iPhone. It isn't going to happen, is it?
It's not going to happen.
So here we go, folks. We've got ourselves, we build our own cage and reinforce it more every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. And we financed it.
We financed it.
Oh, gracious.
I know,
but gee, the iPhones are so nice, and gee whiz. I can text 10 people, and I, you know,
I don't have to talk to anybody.
Yeah, exactly. This is unbelievable, but it is what it is. I mean, what we used to do, as far as even phone conversations, are almost a thing of the past. Writing letters is a thing of the past.
It is.
Very few people write personal letters any longer. If they can't text them, you know, I mean, back when you and I were youngins, if you talked to an aunt, say, out of the state, if you wanted, you'd write to her. You may call, but long distance cost money back then. A lot more, you know, cost money. So you'd write to her. Today, you just text her. So it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Seattle Police Department braces for mass firing of officers as hundreds have yet to show proof of vaccination. Folks, Melody mentioned the healthcare industry. It is absolutely going to be a catastrophe. It truly is. It really is. And it's being done on purpose. This is not an accident, and it's not because of COVID. COVID is an excuse to do this. America has to be a third world country in order for the New World Order to do what it wants to do, and they're bringing us down to that level right now. America, according to Time Magazine, this had been, some years ago, said America will be the largest energy producer in the world. This is back, I think, about 2013, 14. This is in Time Magazine. I remember reading this. We'll be the largest energy producer in the world. Well, obviously, it didn't happen. The reason it didn't happen is they don't want America to become that independent. If you produce all your energy, folks, you don't depend on anybody else to take care of you. And America can't have that because they want to bring us into the third world economy, so we'll be more like other nations, easier to control. And they're doing it. But anyway, so the police department's shrinking, hospitals and healthcare are shrinking, all jobs shrinking, school personnel can't even find enough people to drive the buses. This is all on purpose. Seattle police bracing for mass firing, and hundreds have to get to show proof of vaccination. Already facing staffing crisis, the Seattle Police Department is bracing for the possibility that hundreds of officers will fail to meet an October 18th vaccination deadline. As of October 6th, 292 sworn personnel have yet to provide proof of COVID-19 vaccination. To add another layer of concern, Seattle PD the spokesperson Sergeant Randy Herskick confirmed to Fox 13 News that there are additional 111 officers awaiting results of exemption requests. These 111 are not counted in 292, meaning their accommodations are denied. If the accommodations are denied, the actual number of unvaccinated officers will go as high as 403. Now, Mike, this is in one police department. This is Seattle Police Department. In one police department. 403 of them going. I wonder, now that this is speculation, but I wonder, Henry Kissinger said years ago that one day Americans at that time would rebel over troops in the street, UN troops, That's what he said. But one day they're going to welcome them. Will they call in the National Guard to fill the gap? Then when they call in foreign troops to also fill the gap? That's a good scenario to look at. And it could happen, couldn't it?
Absolutely could.
Now, folks, think about this. Well, you and I would not tolerate it. Is coming to be in this country. Out of necessity, they say. And people as a whole will kowtow to it and do it. No doubt about it. Kaiser Permanente puts 2,200 unvaxxed employees on unpaid leave. This is in Denver. Kaiser Permanente says 2,200 of its employees are now on unpaid administrative leave after not meeting COVID-19 vaccination deadline. The health care provider announced on August 2nd vaccinations would be required of all employees. Kaiser Permanente notes when that mandate was first announced, 70% of the workforce in Colorado was vaccinated. As of October 4th, they say it is now 98%. It is not clear how many of those on leave work in Colorado. Those who have not been vaccinated have until December 1st in order to be vaccinated. We hope none of our employees will choose to leave the job rather than be vaccinated, but we won't know with a certainty until then. We will continue to work with this group of employees, allay them concerns, and educate them about the vaccines, their benefits, and risk. Official Cosmete stated on Tuesday. So there you go, folks. 2,200 more workers. And I don't blame them. God bless them for saying no. God bless them for that. But it's going to make a shortage again in this corporation, this healthcare corporation. 2,200 workers, my friends, are a lot of man hours and manpower that's going to be taken from this horse. Where are you going to find the help? Why not the National Guard again? They're calling in New York in the hospitals, calling the National Guard to come in and help the health personnel and the National Guard to go fill in the hospitals in New York State. Why not fill in here? Why not fill in grocery stores? How about fast food? We can scoff and mock if you want to, but we're heading down that road right now. Melody, you want to wrap up this segment?
Yeah, it really is incredible, and you're right, we're heading down this road right now, and you know where it ends, you know, we do know which direction it's going and so forth. But it just never, things just never cease to amaze me that It was able to get this far, but yet it's all by design. And
Yes, it is. It's all by design.
Yep. So anyway, for the more wealth, more power, and it's their little stomping ground, and we're part of that. So anyway, we're heading into break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoices.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Well, you know, Monday is Columbus Day. Banks are closed. Post offices are closed. I'm not sure what we are doing, Butch, if we're going to have a program Monday or not. Usually, if markets are closed or on holidays like that, heading into this type of the year, we usually do take the day off, only because it's such a hectic time of the year. So we'll talk about that. But did you know that Biden is the first president to mark Indigenous Peoples Day? Did you know that?
Wow. I bet you're so honored.
President Joe Biden, President Joe Biden on Friday issued the first ever presidential proclamation of Indigenous Peoples Day, lending the most significant boost yet to efforts to refocus the federal holiday celebrating Christopher Columbus toward an appreciation of Native peoples. The day will be observed on October 11th along with Columbus Day, which is established by Congress. While Native Americans have campaigned for years for local and national days in recognition of the country's indigenous peoples, Biden's announcements appeared to catch many by surprise. This was completely unexpected, even though we've been talking about it and wanting it for so long, said Hillary Kempenich, an artist and member of the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa. In 2019, she and other tribal members successfully campaigned for her town of Grand Forks, North Dakota, to replace Columbus Day with a day recognizing Native peoples. I don't understand why they can't just have some other day. You know? Hey, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be recognized? Hey, have at it. But why would you want to be included or replace Columbus Day? The Columbus Day is a celebration of Italian culture and the immigrants who traveled and helped build America. It is wrong in every way, and this is by Louis Strazzullo. This is not my commentary. Louis Strazzullo is North End Columbus Day Committee. He said, it is wrong in every way to give a celebration of one culture to a celebration of another that is discrimination against Italians, and they're going to fight this in every way they can. And hey, celebrate, I get it. But don't include it on the same day. In a separate proclamation on Columbus Day, Biden praised the role of Italian Americans in U.S. society, but also referenced the violence and harm Columbus and other explorers of the age brought about on the Americas. Today we acknowledge the painful history of wrongs and atrocities that many European explorers inflicted on tribal nations and indigenous communities, Biden wrote. It is a measure of our greatness as a nation that we do not seek to bury these shameful episodes of our past. That we face them honestly. We bring them to light. And we do all we can to address them. It's amazing. So, that's your President of the United States, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep. Yeah, right.
So sad. It is sad. Yeah. And, and one more thing, Biden's announcement is on the same day the White House was disclosing his plans. Of course, they're going to restore territory to two sprawling national monuments in Utah that Trump had stripped of protections, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It's just, wow.
All known confusion and division.
The Boston mayor, now the Boston mayor, signs an executive order to mark Indigenous Peoples Day. So all your Democratic cities and towns and states and so forth will. So next year there will not probably be a Columbus Day. So
there's more division. There's
yes,
more division. Florida issues financial penalties to school districts with mask mandates. The tug of war between Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and the Biden administration over mask mandates in schools escalated Thursday when the State Board of Education voted unanimously to penalize school districts that continue to require masks and move the U.S. Department of Education warned could be illegal. The board found that 8 districts were not in compliance with a new state law on parental rights, and that they violated a recent state health department rule that says students exposed to coronavirus cannot be ordered to quarantine if they're asymptomatic. School board members in the 8 districts will have their salaries withheld. Let me repeat that. School board members in the 8 districts will have their salaries withheld. That's already happened in Alachua and Broward counties, the first districts to defy DeSantis and implement mask mandates. But the combined amount withheld, over $500,000 for both districts, according to officials, was replaced with grants from the U.S. Education Department. President Biden said last month that supporting America's families and educators grants will restore 100% of the pay for school workers who are punished for doing the right thing. On Thursday, Florida's Education Commissioner Richard Cordran said the state won't stand for what he called federal interference. God bless him. The State Board of Education members agreed and said that any money sent to the school districts and the Biden administration's safe grants will mean an equal amount to be withheld by the state. There you go. Another battle. Another division. More conflict. And along with schools, a teacher's union is suing a mother. Now, Melly, think about this. Just let this sink in. For repeated attempts to know what her kindergartner is learning. How dare she?
What? What's that?
A teacher's union is suing a mother for repeated attempts to know what her kindergartner is learning. Now, can you imagine the gall of that woman wanting to know what they're teaching her little child? Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
When it comes to legal battles over critical race theory, teacher unions are not merely willing to defend themselves from lawsuits, they're filing them as well. On Monday, Nicole Solis, a Rhode Island mom whose daughter will be going to kindergarten, was sued by chapters of the National Education Association for submitting multiple requests to find out what her daughter was learning when it comes to lesson plans on concepts such as transgenderism and critical race theory. Today, the teachers' union NEA filed another lawsuit against me, she said, this time a temporary restraining order and preliminary injunction. Will teachers' unions bullying moms be an everyday thing now? The National Education Association of Rhode Island said an NEA South Kingston filed a complaint in Rhode Island Superior Court to prohibit the disclosure of the requested records and protect teachers' privacy rights when it comes to records that Solis was requesting access to. So it's going to violate teachers' rights, privacy rights, to tell the mother what to be teaching her child in school.
Wow.
What kind of nonsense is this? What kind of insanity is
yeah.
this?
It's our new world.
You know, every day we hear more that makes you just scratch your head and wonder how.
It is absurd, but you can actually look at it as these mothers are really making headway. Because anytime you get that type of backlash and so forth is, you know, when folks are making a difference, right?
Yes, that's true. And confrontation has to happen when you have two different sides that have different opinions. It has to happen. But a parent has every right to know what that child's being taught in school.
Mm-hmm.
Every right. As a matter of fact, they have a duty to know, do they not?
They do.
This is absolutely asinine. That nears starting to make me mad, so I'll move on to something else. Okay.
You know what? I just want to bring this up.
Okay.
I got a little sidetracked earlier because I was just comparing prices. I had someone ask, call in and or email me and asking about a half ounce American Gold Eagle. So I thought, well, you know, I'll check to see, you know, what my competitors are doing and so forth. I can't even believe what they're charging. I can't even believe what they're charging. For 1 to 20, for a half ounce, if you total it up, we come to $2,254.
For a half ounce?
No, that's for two of them, for make 1 ounce. For a half ounce is $1,127.
That's still ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Wow.
Do you not want to know what mine is?
What is yours?
I'm thinking about adjusting my prices, though.
What is yours?
I got to make sure I'm doing this right. divided by two. Mine would be just a little over 1,000.
Wow. Folks, that's why I deal with Melody.
That's... So on a half ounce, they're charging $127 more. Unbelievable.
And they're getting it.
And I'll tell you who it is because you can go there because I'm looking at it right now. These are the Type 2 2021 half ounce American Gold Eagle coin BU APMEX. APMEX.
Wow.
I know.
Call Melody, folks. Give her a call, 800-375-4188.
I almost fell over.
Don't buy it anywhere else. Don't waste your money. Now, I'm going to try to close on a couple of good notes because I promised some good news. And this is good news. Nature, you know, our God, I say nature, creation. Our God made creation to do things. And it works if we don't mess it up. Listen to this, Melody. Most CO2 from Australia's megafires had been offset by algae blooms formed by ice that settled in the ocean. This is remarkable. With 715 million metric tons of carbon dioxide was coughed up to the atmosphere from the massive 2019-2020 wildfires in Australia, scientists fear global warming had just been given a steroid shot. Now, research, however, reminds us of just how cyclical everything on our Earth is by demonstrating that algae blooms in the ocean, feasting on floating deposits of iron-rich ice, which rained down from the sky as a result of the fires, have absorbed 80% of all the CO2 which was emitted. Imagine that. Iron promotes the growth of microscopic marine life called phycoplankton, which use photosynthesis to produce energy just like plants. One of these massive colonies, known as blooms, appear off the coast of South Australia. Another, as wide as Australia itself, fair the Pacific Ocean, where they remain for about 3 months. So the earth cleaned itself in that situation. And here's another one. Mature trees will increase CO2 absorption by a third in response to raised levels on Earth, study shows. Folks, God made nature to work. Mature oak trees will increase the rate of photosynthesis by up to a third in response to the raised CO2 levels expected to be the world average by about 2050, new research shows. They'll absorb it. They'll take care of it. The results are the first two to emerge from a giant outdoor experiment led by the University of Birmingham, in which an old oak forest is bathed in elevated levels of CO2. This latest study adds to the field that looks at the first the use force of the effective carbon sinks and potentially gives a climate research a new tool in the fight against climate change. So, gosh, how do you think? God made it so they absorb it and make oxygen that we breathe. Isn't that amazing?
It truly is. How about that?
I mean, there you go, folks. I'm sorry. Global warming out. The trees took care of it. I'm sorry. But anyway, and imagine this. Good morals and stories play a positive role in shifting values of teens. A study finds it to be true. Teaching a child good morals actually makes them change their values. Melody, who would have thought that?
Who would have thought?
I mean, it's amazing. Who would have thunk it? I mean, really. an important lesson in the moral education of children could be as close as a book in their hands. Stories matter. Just, folks, how about out of the Bible, good stories? Anyway, and they can play a role in shifting the importance of particular moral values in young audiences, according to the results of a new study. Media can distinctly influence separate moral values, and get kids to place more or less importance on those values, depending on what is uniquely emphasized in the content, says Lindsay Hahn, PhD, an assistant professor of communication at the University of Buffalo College of Arts and Sciences. Hahn is the first author of a new study which adds critical nuance to a body of literature that explores how media content affects children. Go figure. Media content affects people. Wow. While many previous studies have focused on broad conceptualizations like pro-social or anti-social effects that might be associated with specific content, Hahn's study looks at how exposure to content featuring specific moral values, care, fairness, loyalty, and authority might influence the way kids place on those values. Imagine they finally figured that out, Melody. After all these years, they figured that out.
How about that? That
moral teachings make better children. Now, you wouldn't have thought that, would you?
Of course. Who would have thought? Jeez. Again?
Gosh. And a charity in Vancouver, Washington, Canada, charity rescues so much food from landfill, it opens a pay-what-you-feel grocery store to share tons of produce. Folks, this is for real. The Food Stash Foundation's Rescued Food Market is open 3 hours on Fridays. People come in and pay what they have in their pocket to pay. And they get food that's going to be thrown away. Amazing. And a grocery store also, again, this is in Canada. This is Netherlands. It's a grocery line where slower is better. Supermarkets open chat checkouts to combat loneliness among elderly. And that, folks, this is amazing. Common sense.
We're out of time, Butch. Thank you for bringing the good news. We appreciate it very much. And we'll be back. We'll decide whether you're just going to have to tune in to see if we're here or not on Monday. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.